They are finally here. The US government has released its first batch of UFO files, and I couldn't be more excited to dive in. Welcome to What It Means to Be Human. We are going through the UFO files, the first tranche, the first batch of them, and I haven't seen them before. So you're going to be getting my first reaction. And really the question is, can a bad showing here damage public interest in this subject in a way where it kind of goes back into the bottle? Let's dive in. So we had a few days back, this was the announcement. It says, as for my promise to you, the Department of War has released the first tranche of UFO UAP files to the public for their review and study. In an effort for complete and maximum transparency, it was my honor to direct my administration to identify and provide government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life, unidentified aerial phenomena, and unidentified flying objects. Funny that he says he directed them. This was a law signed by Biden about a year or two ago. He's just following up. So it's a great teamwork between them. Then he goes on, whereas previous administrations have failed to be transparent on the subject, fair point, with these new documents and videos also capitalized, the people can decide for themselves. What the hell is going on? Have fun and enjoy. President Donald J. Trump. Then we had the BBC following up with really the question that we're all asking. Has the Pentagon delivered? From what I'm seeing, people are saying, no, not really. So I guess we'll see how this kind of goes. Meanwhile, we then get people like Eric Burleson saying thank you at real Donald Trump, not to be confused for the fake Donald Trump, for doing what no other president has been willing or capable of doing. This is a historic first step in what I trust will be just one of many. Thank you for taking on the swamp to make this release happen. You are the president of the people. Then we have Anna Paulina Luna saying that their requested documents and videos will be in the second drop. So that stuff will be coming soon. Or at least that's what we're hearing. So Burleson was pressed on Fox News. He was asked pretty much why this material. And I thought I would just play the clips for you, so that you can see what they had to say.
That I am open and curious about this subject of UAPs. But I do feel like we're at a place where evidence needs to start meeting expectations. What we've seen today, what does this tell us? Does this meet any expectation?
I think that this is a teaser. This is a kind of a, you know, something to open up with. This was the low-hanging fruit kind of videos and content for this administration to release.
Okay.
A lot of this has been out there before. It's not been acknowledged, right?
Okay.
So you're looking at the Apollo 17 video. Yeah.
I've seen the same thing said by Congressman Tim Burchett, that this is sort of the beginning and there will be other releases that could leave Americans with a holy crap moment. I believe that's a direct quote from Congressman Tim Burchett. My question for you or the congressman would be, why? Why slow roll this out like it's a season of Game of Thrones? Like, why would episode one be somewhat uninspiring, leave us with more questions than answered, if there's something coming after the teaser? What's the point in staging the release?
Just from talking with the White House and this administration, this is not an easy thing to do. There's not one huge repository of all of these documents and videos and photos. Despite what most people believe, they're really, at least we haven't found that one, you know, big repository. So what the agency is doing is going and finding first and foremost the items that are readily available to be released, and they want to be quick, move quickly and release those.
Do they now? That's interesting. I guess underwhelming or not, when I start looking through it, this is a start. They're hoping for more to come out, but it's kind of hilarious that on the day that we're being told, here are the UFO files, they're also saying, coming soon. Some teasing there, right? But this is a new era for the subject. Burleson went on to talk about this.
I would ask you, would you prefer to have them wait for, you know, years? What would probably take years if they were to do a comprehensive study and then release it all at once in one big batch? I would prefer that they release it as they find it. And I think that this administration wants to be transparent and do that.
My criticism is not for the decisions of the administration. My criticism is for the expectation built by many out there that have these conversations that there will soon be a bomb to drop when it comes to revelations about aliens. And if that's true, are we trying to prepare the American people with a slow drip, drip, drip tease of this stuff? If not, then Congressman, I would say, if this is all we've got, then I'm not sure that there's anything the American government really has that tells us anything about the existence of aliens. I'm just beginning to feel like this entire story is teased out always just beyond our reach.
He is not a fan.
I can sense your frustration. I've experienced it personally myself. I've seen videos that I think are in the process of being declassified, so I think that there is more to come. If they're not going to be disclassified, I'll probably do an effort to release them myself under speech and debate. But again, a lot of the footage that I've seen is similar to what has been released today. There's some that are pretty interesting, and especially given the environment and the circumstances of the videos, whether they are videos of UAPs that are flying around Russian submarines or a video of our aircraft that are firing on some of these UAPs. I've seen those kind of videos, and so I'm teasing that because I know that I'm telling the administration through you at this moment that if they don't release those, then I have the capabilities of getting those videos and releasing them.
Thanks, Burleson. That was interesting. Burleson essentially saying that they're going to private contractors to get their materials because, as we know, anything generated under contract by private contractors or quasi-private companies, as he says there, is exempt from FOIA. So we can't get that to see it. A few notable examples of that, BAS, DIA, ORSAP, you know, that Skinwalker effort with Bigelow, they produced yearly reports, monthly reports, reports on Skinwalker, reports on Tic Tac, so on and so forth, that are under lock and key in Bigelow's safe, probably. Now, that's taxpayer money. That should be released. We've also got companies like Lockheed, Northrop Grumman. We have federally funded research and development centers known as FFRDCs, companies like the RAND Corporation, the MITRE Group, the MIT Lincoln Lab. Supposedly, this UFO program is hidden inside other just normal programs. So if someone's working on satellites, they might be given something like, hey, we don't know what this is. Can you analyze this? Supposedly, the people giving it to them, to the analyst, knows that it's something more exotic. And is plain ignorant just to get the analysis. And that kind of goes all the way down to studying the materials, apparently. And I gotta say, Burleson seems pretty sensible there. But he says that he's from Missouri, a show-me state. As in, they don't believe anything unless you show them. Which made this clip in particular really interesting to me.
I'm a Christian. I am absolutely a born-again believer. I believe that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ.
Good for you.
Me too. So God bless let me kind of walk you through my personal journey on this.
Okay.
I'm a skeptic. I'm from the show me state. You're going to have to prove to me what these are. I'm going to have to see them for myself in person before I believe anything. That being said, I've often wondered how does this fit with my biblical worldview? How does this really challenge my faith?
Right.
And what I've come to the conclusion is that if you pay attention to what the Bible actually says, not what you think it says, this does not conflict with anything that we believe as Christians. You know, the Bible's very clear. We're not the first creation. That there were entities, part of the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of God, that were created before mankind entered this universe.
Gotcha.
And the question is, what are those things? I mean, the Bible describes them broadly as angels. It describes some of them as seraphim, some as cherubim. I don't know what those things are.
Right.
And most people... But at the end of the day, I don't want to pigeonhole myself as a believer into saying, an alien comes from an extraterrestrial being comes down, and that doesn't fit the Bible. Well, maybe it does. Maybe that's what the Bible was pointing towards all along. I'm not a theologian, but I'm just trying to say, the more that we as Christians just stick to what the Bible actually says, as opposed to what we believe it says, I think we'll be better off. You know, the Bible doesn't say, for example, the devil There's nowhere in the Bible where it says the devil has a tail and a pitchfork.
Right.
It doesn't. It's not there. And so start shaking away any kind of medieval version of your interpretation of the Bible, and I think you'll be better off.
Interesting that he's trying to correct people over a fictional book. No offense if you're religious, but you know, it was written hundreds, thousands of years after these events started. And if you have faith, you have faith. I do not share that. I went to Catholic school, no Braille learned. And, you know, I hear something like that and I kind of go, okay, so if you show from the show me state, then what is it that someone showed you that proved God was real? Because, you know, the rest of us could probably use that. Maybe it was a personal kind of touch of faith of being saved or a sign from God or something like that. But, you know, they're open to interpretation. So talking about objective readings of a book when you're talking about things that are open to personal interpretation is kind of strange. He also says that it doesn't challenge his faith. And that's kind of strange to me. If something challenges your faith, you should be open to it being challenged, unless you think it's kind of just going to crumble at the first sight of a challenge. But at least he doesn't bring up Enoch. He does, though, bring up seraphim and cherub as angels. And that's strange because seraphim means, if I've got my Bible studies classes memory correct, seraphim means messenger. So it's a job, not a being. Lots of different things could be seraphim. Yeah, you also have like the burning ones, things like that. That's a whole host of characters. The Bible isn't the only one that makes room for NHI. Watch the recent Signal episode for me to go into it and to talk about that. But, you know, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, all of these things literally have room for non-human intelligence. And I think kind of more so than the Christian Bible, for sure. Though the Pope has said that any alien would be God's children too. God's been busy. What can he say? Okay, so News Nation actually kind of teased a little bit after that, that more is coming soon.
Any idea when the next drop will be and what we can expect next?
I think it might come as early as the end of this week. We might see another drop this coming Friday, as happened last week. I'm certainly told that there are the 46 videos that have been requested by Representative Anna Paulina and the members of the UAP caucus. They've been demanding access to videos that the Pentagon's been sitting on for some time that have been described to us by multiple sources and multiple witnesses. All of the sources tell us that in some cases these are extraordinarily clear images. 4K quality imagery, for example, of an object moving very fast underwater, far beyond known human technology capabilities. And also there are space shuttle images. I'm told that some of the imagery includes images taken from some of the STS space shuttle missions that feature objects that have never been properly explained.
Okay, so that was Ross Coulthart sharing that he's heard that there's more stuff coming and detailing it a little bit, telling us that it's 4K, it's color, it's going to be high definition. This is the carrot that's been dangled for years for us. I say us as in the UFO community. Some community it is. Everyone's always, you know, kicking each other's heels. But for people that are into this subject, we've wanted this 4K footage, you know, that Lou Elizondo and others have kind of alluded to. And we've not seen it. It's not in this release. So I hear it's coming in the next release. Again, kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth that we're saying soon whilst actually dropping these file releases. It's kind of funny. I can't write this stuff, but it is what it is. Ross there mentions the 46 videos that Anna Paulina Luna requested. And just on that, tomorrow, so today is Monday, the May the 11th, tomorrow, the new documentary Sleeping Dogs comes out about Jeremy Corbell. And in that, we supposedly will be seeing 8 of the 46 videos requested by Luna. I'm sure you'll see those videos on social media very quickly. So, you know, if you feel that maybe, you know, using privileged access to classified information and using that to sell a documentary is a little unethical and possibly the exact definition of corruption, don't worry about it. You can just see them on social media for free. So just wait for that. The sad thing about them being in the documentary is that they might not come with chain of custody. They're not going to come from, you know, the Department of Defense and stuff like that. So it's kind of dubious, but like I say, it is what it is. They will be floating around tomorrow. However, the thing that I did enjoy, and I promise we can get to the file soon, which is kind of looking at the context around them, Tom DeLonge came back to give us a few words from, I guess, California, where he's staying now. He hasn't commented on the UFO stuff for a long while, but he did comment on this.
You know, we just had a big drop of a bunch of government documents on unidentified aerial phenomena today. Just wanted to put out my own kind of perspective on this. I think that this is a tremendous thing that's happening. I think for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, the government is now formally doing stuff. They're formally investigating it, formally reviewing it, formally putting it out. Especially that one of the videos looks like a North Star. I think that's one of the most shocking things I've seen in a long time. We've never seen a UAP actually like look like that. But I'm just really excited. I'm really proud. And I think that the net that they are casting right now, they're really getting things done. And the government's taking this seriously. And I'm still very connected to the subject and to a lot of people working on this. And I feel really good about it. I'm really optimistic that this is going to lead to more investigations, to more review. We're never going to get, like, you know, the perfect thing just presented to us on a plate. But this is the process that starts, that happens over years, where they keep digging and digging and digging, and they get to the truth of it all. And I'm just really, really stoked. I'm really, really proud that the country's leading like this in this subject area, you know. Right on. All right. Stay tuned for more.
Right on, Thomas DeLonge. The music in the background was amazing. There was like big band jazz music. Does he just chill and listen to that? That's hilarious. I thought he'd be listening to punk rock. But it was great to hear him again, kind of talking about the subject. He's been away touring with Blink-182, so it's nice to see him comment. Okay, well, UFO files times. So generally from a quick kind of once over, what I'm seeing from these files is a kind of a lack of coherence in them. It's not really clean, categorized, classified data. Instead, it appears to kind of be a grab bag of information that has accumulated over time, with just many of these documents have been available for years. So this isn't, a lot of these aren't new. There's a kind of pattern of non-resolution as well. All of these are unresolved. Doesn't mean they're aliens, doesn't mean they're not, but they're just unresolved. They don't know. This is what Mick West refers to as is the LIZ, the low information zone. A recurring theme across both the historical and modern files here is the government's tendency to record observations, but consistently stop short of offering a kind of final formal analysis or explanation. Really, what we wanted was a kind of the government to say, hey, we've seen X, Y, Z, and we think we are not alone, or we are alone, or, you know, there are creatures in the sky that ignore your walls and privacy, any of that. But instead, they kind of label benign or pass between agencies. And so, yeah, there's kind of a pass the hot potato kind of thing going on here with the government departments not wanting to address them, to be stuck with them. I mean, maybe it's like detectives, right? They have to solve a bunch of murders to kind of get their promotion or whatever. Maybe in the government, if something goes unsolved, that's a black mark against you. So you kind of don't want unsolved things under your belt during your tenure. Maybe. There's also a kind of gap between the evidence and the narrative. And what I mean by that is that there's a disconnect between kind of the ambiguity of the source data and what's being said in public about this data, where social media kind of turns limited grainy or inconclusive sensor clips into definitive proof of advanced alien technology. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't know what that is. I'm not an expert. That's fine. You'll probably hear me say that a lot in between rolling my eyes at fuzzy dots, which I'm expecting to do. So what is in the files? So far, we've gotten 173 files released. That is 28 videos, 14 images, 131 PDFs. A lot of those PDFs pair with the videos. So you're kind of seeing like reports from pilots, from drone operators, things like that, about the videos that we'll be watching. These files all come from the Department of State, the Department of War, the FBI, and NASA, four agencies. However, that means key departments and agencies like the NRO, the NGA, the DIA, the DOE, and the CIA so many acronyms, still appear absent from this public picture. The next step is for the agencies with the government's most advanced collection and analytical data capabilities to follow through. That's places like the NRO, NGA, the CIA, Department of Energy, places like that. All the ones with the really good shit in space, the good satellites, that they very often kind of do hand-me-downs. When NASA was setting up the Hubble telescope, apparently the NSA said to them, hey, we just kind of have one laying around. Do you want one? It's all for us. Suggesting that, you know, while the public is fawning over this cutting-edge Hubble telescope, there's actually much more advanced things kind of going on in the black world. So yeah, hopefully we'll get more information from the CIA, NRO, NGA, DIA, DOE, and others. I'm sure there's others I've missed that will kind of fill out that picture for us as we go forward. However, there might be a problem with that, because actually what we're hearing is that a couple of these departments or organizations, I should say, like the CIA, are not playing ball.
What you're saying is we are on the cusp of getting a lot more details that deal with actual alien beings, however you're going to describe them.
That's certainly up to the president's team, and I certainly support them, but it has come to my attention actually recently as of today. There are some actors within certain intelligence agencies, to include DIA and CIA specifically, that are actually blocking some of the president's presidentially appointed team and getting access and getting control on some of these historical records. So I really expect the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security, Bradley Hansel, to take care of that, as some of that's under his cognizance, especially on the national program side, which is directly under his organization, to reveal some of the historical National Security Council records on this.
Well, that was David Grush coming back from the beyond to tell us that the CIA are not playing ball. He also last week told us that General Neil McCaslin, the missing gentleman who was working with Tom DeLonge on Disclosure, was on his malicious or non-cooperative contact list. So the plot is thickening from David Grush's point of view. And I think that's really interesting that the CIA aren't playing ball, because we're hearing that they were the ones that had the material that they were going to give to Bigelow, and they didn't hand it over, and they've had generally this kind of secret all buttoned up for decades and decades and decades now, which would not shock me. It will be their job, and they do some very horrific things over at the CIA, much as James Heavyman would tell you they don't. They do. The videos that we're going to be looking at, they are mostly from FLIR systems. So remember that those systems don't work like traditional cameras. They're going to be weird artifacts. They're black and white and blurry. Black tends to be hot. Sometimes white is hot. Usually the video will tell us that. These are battle systems, not observational systems, you know, cameras, just normal cameras like we're used to using. Not iPhones like they took on the moon mission, where they could just film it and we kind of have a good idea of what we're looking at and it's what we're used to seeing. So we kind of find ourselves between two positions with everything we're going to look at in a second. The first is that the government is all-seeing and all-knowing, that these things were recorded by the most advanced military equipment operated by trained specialists who definitely had access to advanced radar systems and other references. These specialists reach their conclusion that this is unresolved, or that anything is unresolved, maybe anomalous, and they report it to Arrow or the commanding officer. And these other specialists who see thousands of reports of these things also concluded that these things are unresolved. So when we're talking about stuff like this and we say something's a flare or something's a balloon, there's a tendency to kind of go, well, you know, the US government employs specialists and they would know. They would know. They wouldn't tell us that it's something strange if it wasn't something strange. When really, people are humans. Humans make mistakes. People see things in the sky and they misidentify them. However, it doesn't mean that it's not exotic either. So just hold the position of, we take this lightly, we take it seriously. Okay, that's what I tend to do. Or try to do, anyway. It's more difficult than said sometimes. Okay, so here we go. These are the files. This is a website I found made by developer Noah. I don't know his surname. I apologize, Noah. this is great. I have a screen just off to the side here, so I'm going to be looking down here. And on this website, everything is kind of arranged by date. You can even download them all if you want to, right here. Download just the videos, the images, the PDFs, the JSON data. And also, NOAA's added the capability where you can look at these sightings on a world map. Cool emoji. And you can click them and it will take you to those particular sightings paperwork. So here we can see that the Gulf of Aden, the one I clicked on, is taking us to a Range Fowler report there. And we can click on that there, have a little look-see, and it tells us all about it. A lot of these files are going to be like this. And quite frankly, Range Fowler reports are hella boring. And I know you guys want to see the videos. So what we're going to do is I'm going to, you know, there aren't many images here, so I'm going to look at the images first. Oh, so these are Apollo. Interesting. So we got some FBI photos, which is interesting. That's the first stuff that we've seen from the FBI, from their task force. But are they good? And no, not really. That's a blob. That could be anything. And all of them are the same. Look at that. It looks like they're from the same video, but unless the video shows something like it moving quickly, right angle turns, that kind of stuff, low observability, we can't see any of that with these images. So out of 14 images they released, that's 8 images of blurry dot from a single video. That is useless to me. All of the identified information has been scrubbed out there. Lots of redactions look, as expected, kind of terrible. Yeah, here is a little description of the file. They're saying it was derived from an Arrow investigation, or derived from a video, sorry, from a government system. The day and location of the event have not been provided. Original imagery was altered with redactions before being submitted to Arrow. Interesting. So Arrow didn't even get to see some of this stuff, all this stuff that's redacted. But I thought they had access to everything. So then there's a little just explainer at the bottom there, just saying that it's a landscape. There's a dark circular object located at the center of the reticule. Okay, that's enough of that one. We can kind of get the gist there. There's a dark object. We don't know what it is. We can't see the video. These things are interesting, though. These are Apollo pictures from the 70s. These have been going around because I saw someone basically say that these are really low resolution. And they're correct. These are really low resolution. Higher resolution scans of these exist on the NASA archive. So it's weird that they've resampled these to put them in here. But yeah, there were all these artifacts that showed up. And this is some of the stuff that has been available for years. So you can see lights, artifacts that some people say were craft watching them when they first landed on the moon. I mean, sure as hell, if we could see another civilization get to their moon, we would really want to watch that from afar. And that's the idea here, is that something watched us do that. I say us. I didn't do anything. It's like watching a sport team, right? And saying, we're winning. We're not doing anything. I'm sitting down drinking beer, watching people work their butt off. So yeah, there were reports that the astronauts saw something. Okay. So these are all of the files here with all the lights and the blemishes. Some of these were said to be from a transfer process, as in, you know, they were picked up from being transferred between film and through the darkroom process. So multiple Apollo missions there. It's another one. That one's like a tower of light there. And these are really interesting because they're not on the edge of Photoshop. So you're not faking these. Whatever is an organic thing. If it's in the picture, it's real. If it's part of the process, it's being generated by that process. You know, no one's going in and just adding these. I wonder if there's anything in the PDFs. What is this? Hold on. I need to... A composite sketch. Is this really the level that we're stooping to here? Is the next release going to have a bunch of Luna's Child's fridge drawings of the Tic Tac? That's embarrassing. So we have a whole bunch of cables and stuff like that here. So NOAA has organized these by date. You can see that these files go from pre-1960 all the way up to modern day. So a really big grab bag. Actually, considering the amount of time that these files are taken over, there really aren't that many files. Only 9 are from pre-1960. 15 are from 1960 to 2000. 4 are from the 2000s. And 73 are from 2010 plus. So I'm just going to hit this really old one here. Okay, so these are just reports about flying discs, that kind of stuff. Nothing proving anything so far. Okay, what are we looking at transcript-wise? Pick this up so I can read it. Oh, interesting. So this is a conversation between an astronaut in Houston talking about something being in the sky. There are a bunch of transcripts here from NASA that seem to indicate that the astronauts saw some stuff, but they ultimately thought it was their own boosters and their own equipment, which is, you know, a little disappointing, I guess. But I don't know. I think I'd prefer to know the astronauts got back to Earth in one piece without, you know, anything Independence Day-esque happening. Okay, so there's more here. One of the astronauts says, now we've got a few very bright particles or fragments or something that go drifting by as we maneuver. Roger, understood. That's a mission control there. And then LMP, astronaut, says, there's a whole bunch of big ones on my window down there. Just bright. It looks like the 4th of July out of Ron's window. Then Ron says, yes, now you can see some of them in shape. They're very jagged, angular fragments that are tumbling. That sounds kind of weirdly like what Beatrice Villarroel, Beatrice Villarroel describes with her transient, where they look like they were tumbling in the atmosphere, kind of glinting off the sun as they were rotating. And with that, you can kind of tell the shape of something. So I wonder if they did the analysis here. A member of the public is doing the analysis now, so you would expect them to have done the analysis back then. Ooh, only 2 megabytes. This is from NASA. This is from 65. This is interesting. So this is about 6 minutes long. I'm going to play the whole thing.
Chevy Control here again. Earlier in the flight, you'll recall at the start of the second revolution, we had a reference to several objects that the crew spotted. This was in the area of Antigua. Due to a mechanical breakdown, we did not have that portion of the tape available for you. This was a line breakdown between Building 30 and our news center in Building 6. Since then, we have dubbed a tape off the master tape here in the control center, and we are now prepared to play it for you. It contains references to sighting not only some particles, but as well as an unidentified object.
Oh.
Plus the booster. Here's that tape.
Gemini mission.
We'll play it for you now.
Gemini 7 here, Houston, how do you read?
Loud and clear. 7, go ahead.
Bogey at 10 o'clock high.
This is Houston. Say again, 7.
So they can see something.
Bogey at 10 o'clock high.
Roger. Gemini 7, is that the booster or is that an actual sighting?
What?
Say again, 7. You have any more information, estimated distance or size?
We also have the booster in sight.
Understand you also have the booster in sight, Roger.
And we have hundreds of little particles flying by the left out about 3 to 4 miles.
Understand you have many small particles going by on the left. At what distance?
4 miles. Looks like a vehicle that's disintegrated.
Roger, understand they're about 3 to 4 miles away?
They're past now, they're going to pull a little bit.
Roger, and understand they were about 3 to 4 miles away?
From the pier line, or further.
Roger. Gemini 7, Houston, were these particles in addition to the booster and the bogey at 10 o'clock high? Roger.
7, this is Houston, this is 7.
Go ahead.
I have the booster on my side. It's a brilliant body of the sun against a black background, and with billions of particles around it.
Roger, what direction is it from you?
It's about at my 2 o'clock position.
Does that mean it's ahead of you?
It's ahead of us, 2 o'clock, slowly tumbling.
Roger.
An actual sighting. So, I mean, one, that implies that there's a protocol in place. Like, oh, you sighted another one? That there's familiarity in what they're talking about, almost as if they prepped for it or expected it. So the particles are likely ice particles from the ship itself, breaking off and flowing off into space. They reflect and they reflect light, and yeah, they look a little weird if you're not used to seeing them. But here they're saying they're seeing those. They can see the booster in the sky, so it's not like they're mistaking something else for the booster. They can see the booster. It's like seeing the sun and then another sun next to it. Like, you can see the sun. Like, this other thing isn't the sun, no matter how much it looks like it. But it sure does suggest that it looks man-made or that it looks constructed or something like that. Enough speculation. Let us carry on.
Chevy Control here again. The reference in that conversation to the third unidentified object, of course, was, or the third object, was bogey. There were several references to the bogey. This is the unidentified object in addition to particles which appear to be headed in a polar orbit, you heard Frank Borman say, plus Jim Lovell discussing the booster. It was Borman who reported sighting the bogey. This is Gemini Control Houston at 4 hours, 24 minutes into the flight.
This might be my favorite thing in the whole drop. We're hearing astronauts talk about seeing bogeys in space, and we're not talking about picking your nose, we're talking about UFOs, unidentified objects that they don't know who's flying them, they don't know where they're from. This is very compelling. Okay, you guys have no doubt been waiting for me, and I'm just gonna dive into the videos. So I'm seeing like a teeny, teeny, tiny white dot in the distance that's being followed by the camera here. The videos are ontologically shocking for all the wrong reasons. The whole screen is pretty much blacked out. It'll be a miracle if I could see anything at all. There wasn't a single 4K closer. We couldn't see how far away things were. We couldn't see how high things were. That's a fairly boring ass video, to be honest. If you want to see me go through them one by one, that is over on YouTube. That's not convincing anyone that that's an alien. But there were a few interesting videos, so we're just going to skip forward to those. Let's go. That's dust on my screen. It's not a UFO. Yeah, okay. So this is the Chandelier UAP that was released on Weaponized. And it kind of looks like a biblical angel. Essentially, if you picture a cross and then draw a circle, you know, for an inner circle, like a bullseye, and then a circle around it, you're not too far off. And this is the most visually striking one so far, by far. Because it looks like some kind of, and I think Luna said this it kind of looks like some angelic being. And actually, I've seen this one examined. You can kind of see it. So as the thing's moving on screen, you can see a trail behind it. And that trail, people are going to think is smoke, but it's not smoke. This thing is black hot. It is really, 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 really hot. That's why it's maxing out here. And then this smoke trail is actually a trail in the camera because of the frame rate again, where the hottest part of the object is kind of dragging behind it. You can see this if you go get yourself like a Ring camera and you have someone run past real fast, you'll see a trail kind of come from them, especially if, you know, they hold a light to the camera like a key ring. It's an interesting artifact, but it doesn't mean that the person is, you know, spreading out in time. The camera is spreading them out in time because of the frame rate. So that's kind of looks like what's happening here. Again, it looks like it's moving erratically, but with no actual point of frame of reference, we can't say how it's moving at all. This all could just be the camera person. And let's be honest, if you see something that looks like this, you're going to be shitting bricks. And so some people have said that this is a flare drop with a parachute flare. People that actually work in the military have said that flares don't have drop with rectangular parachutes. So it doesn't compute for them in that way. But also, you can definitely see, and I'm going to slow this video down a second here. I want you to watch the object itself in relation to what people think is the parachute. Because as the object reaches the center of the frame, this artifact appears. And like I say, people think that it's a parachute, but it's not. When you look at something really bright like the sun, if you point your camera at it, you'll kind of get this lens flare effect. It'll give you a similar artifact like this. And it's actually a in-lens kind of artifact. And watch as the object moves away. This should also move away up into the corner here. So let's see if it does. If it's an object on a parachute, they would both move the same way, right? There's only a finite amount of cord between them. But if they move away from each other, they're moving away from each other. Look at that. It is a lens artifact. And we'll probably see it again now because we're coming back to the center. Oh, look, there it is again. Always opposite. And you can even see the clarity of it here. It looks like it's see-through now instead of black as it was a second ago. So yeah, this is from the heat of that kicking a lens artifact into the frame. The cross here and the circle were found to be from the targeting reticule of the FLIR camera that was filming it. It has this exact shape. You know, the cross there, the circle, and someone demonstrated that you can reproduce this with that similar thing. So as cool as this looks, it is a good example of a UFO video that is not a UFO. What's also funny is that this is unresolved, but the internet has solved it. Okay, this one is Indo-Pacific Command in 2024. It is a white dot flying around. At least we can see the ground, though. And, oh, we have windmills. Okay, so this white dot is flying through windmills, a field of windmills. Hold on, I'm gonna slow this down because I want to see if it goes behind any of these. In front. Like, it gets smaller when it passes them, but it doesn't disappear completely. So it's not going behind, it's in front of them. It's like the contrast relativity is changing. And this is a good example of where it just looks different from a phone. You know, you expect when a thing goes near a dark object and it disappears that it's gone behind it. Actually, in FLIR, that's not the case at all. It's kind of relative. So though this one looks pretty good, this thing's going pretty fast, it does look like it's going straight through the windmills. And I know there are first-person drone races that do stuff like this. They literally go through windmill farms and, you know, they find it exciting. Lots of close calls and stuff. Okay, so whatever is filming it has just stopped and it is adjusting itself to keep this thing in frame, and this thing looks like it's changed direction. But I think the adjusting, it's almost like the drone is doing this so that the object looks like it changes direction, but it actually doesn't. It's the drone that's filming, or whatever the camera is attached to that's filming, that is changing direction and makes it look like this changes direction. Some of these videos and photos and transcripts are frustratingly choose your own adventure. And really, we should be past that, I think, in 2026 after these hearings. It was particularly interesting to read the internal discussion amongst astronauts regarding the objects that they saw. While the astronauts eventually hypothesized it was probably part of their own spacecraft, the transcript does a lot to capture their just genuine real-time confusion and investigation. And some of those photos are still really sus. The footage seems to show some unusual maneuvers, but there's no definitive evidence of non-human technology here. So really nothing big here. Nothing big at all. This is just a collection of old and new material that avoids definitive conclusions. There are no final estimates, no final assessments. But the danger here is that if this is all we get, it all goes back in a bottle, save for a small niche of interested people like us, I guess. Episode one of any series should be captivating, not eye-rollingly boring. If anything, the government can now point at this and say, we released these, we're the most transparent government ever, when most of these were released before, and most of it is so vague that it's not convincing anyone. What's clear is that these files should never have been classified. There is nothing here that is revelatory, that is like, whoa, this is off-world. None of this should have been classified. So there's a gross over-classification problem right now with anything to do with UAP. So I guess that's it for File Drop Part 1. I'll be back soon with Part 2 if there is more. This will be edited and all the silence and digital gremlins and stuff cut out, and it'll be put on the main feeds of the podcast. But for now, I hope you enjoyed a very boring late night jaunt through the UFO files. Revelatory though they were meant to be, they were not. Let's look forward to part two, I guess. And I shall bid you all adieu. And as we say in Wales, this means good night, but we say nasta. So nasta. Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Spotify or on your chosen platform. If you could like, share, or subscribe, that would be very much appreciated. It helps us find our tribe. If you'd like to support the show and get access to a 1-hour live chat each month and early ad-free access, you can find us at Patreon. Just follow the link in the show notes or at our website, tobehumanshow.com. And feel free to reach out via the contact page or email at hello@tobehumanshow.com. As always, remember to be curious. The universe is bigger than we know.
What It Means to Be Human is a Double Barrel production. This week's episode was produced by Roz Mugford and Dan Zetterstrom. Sound post-production by Parker Mosley, with technical support from Dale Mugford. Our theme music is by Thunderbird.